Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Chat. For 42 years and 10,755 episodes, the Agnes Nixon-created soap opera All My Children captivated daytime television fans around the world with stories of lust, betrayal, heartbreak, and, of course, family, set upon the fictitious Pennsylvanian backdrop of Pine Valley. Through the years, All My Children became one of the most beloved daytime dramas on television, with 10 million people tuning in each and every day at the height of its popularity. All My Children would go on to win over 75 Daytime Emmy Awards, and for the next few episodes of The Chat, we are honored to remember this former ABC and Prospect Park soap opera. Today, we welcome multi-Daytime Emmy nominee and winner, the legendary Wisner Washam, who began writing for the series alongside Agnes herself in its most formative years. He would even see the show's transition from 30 minutes to an hour. But before we speak with Mr. Washam, let's check in on our co-host. Alan, how are you today?
I'm okay.
Wonderful. And of course, Mr. Wisner himself, how are you?
I'm fine. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Wonderful. We are so happy to have you. So we'll actually start with Alan. Alan, what is a question that you have for Mr. Washam?
One of the biggest moments of the 80s of All My Children was when Jenny died. Very big forward moment. Everyone remembers it. Even if you weren't watching, like, you've seen the clip of that. So how did that story come about?
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble understanding you.
Oh, yes. He asked, how did the story of Jenny's death come about?
I'm not sure. I know it was, many people think it was a big mistake. But I'm not sure whether she wanted to leave the show. I'm sure she was not fired because she was much too valuable. So my guess would be, although my memory is very, very cloudy about that, my guess would be that she wanted to leave, and instead of trying to recast, which would have been absolutely impossible, we decided to do her in.
So that's quite interesting to hear. Do you remember if Jenny was a victim of a focus group? Because I know that Tom Cudahy was, and I know that you also despised focus groups.
You know that. Absolutely, I did despise them. I think they were very destructive and certainly were not creative in the least. They were a product, I think, originally of a vice president from ABC called Jackie Smith, who was not a creative woman herself at all. And therefore she came up with this idea of a focus group, which allowed total strangers and people who had no knowledge about telling a story to in fact tell the story. I detested them. I tried to not go to the meetings, but Agnes insisted that I go out of political necessity.
Definitely. And then, Alan, I know you've got another question for Windsor about his time at All My Children. So what's your next question for him?
Next question is about network notes. How did they influence storytelling in All My Children?
Would you repeat that, please, Casey?
Yes. So Alan asked, how did network notes come about at All My Children, and how did they determine story?
At a certain point, when the show obviously became so valuable, in fact, daytime was making more money for ABC than primetime during a certain period of history. And when they realized that, they decided that they needed the suits to get into the act. And Jackie Smith was a VP of daytime. Prior to that, we'd had a gentleman called Michael's last name, who was just very happy that things were going well and let the professional writers write the show. Jackie decided, no, she needed to get into the act. And she started sending her minions to our weekly meeting. We had a weekly meeting with the producer, where all of the writing team and the production team and the from ABC met on every Thursday morning. And that's many storylines were changed and modified and destroyed that way, in my opinion.
Definitely. I can only imagine, you know, the things they would say to you that would influence writing, because they wanted it that way on their network. So we do have a question from a co-host that couldn't be here, which I think, you know, kind of goes along with what you were just talking about. And this does come from Tiggs, who wants to know, what would have been a dream storyline for you to write?
What kind of storyline?
Like a dream story. Like, was there ever a storyline that you envisioned for a resident of Pine Valley that you really wanted to tell but never got the opportunity?
No. We put everything on the air we could think of. No, we were not squelched, but I think we were often misdirected by the suits.
Definitely. You certainly had to fill 260 episodes a year somehow, right?
We sure did. It became really difficult.
Yes, and actually talk about that hour. I would certainly love to know what it was like for you on the writing team from the show's transition from half hour to an hour.
Well, I was in a very powerful position at that time. I didn't realize how powerful I was, but Agnes took me to lunch one day and said, would you like to, or would you be interested in helping take this show from a half an hour to an hour? And my mouth flew open. I couldn't believe it. It sounded like an absolutely impossible task. But she mentioned the money involved, and suddenly I became very agreeable. But I made some stipulations that were very expensive for the network. But I said I would like to be able to double the cast. I think at that point, I don't know what we had, probably a dozen. And I'd like to have 24 people on contract. I'd like to have twice as many sets available per day. And a bigger staff to assist me. And they agreed to everything. They were really, I think, quite desperate.
Wow.
And it all happened. And of course, nowadays, everything is done on the cheap. You know, you don't have all the sets available. You write the story according to the sets nowadays, as I understand it. And when I first started with Agnes, I was writing the story with the number of characters, because we had the actors had a certain number of guaranteed performances every week. And Bob Nixon, who looked after the financial end of Agnes's business, insisted that we use all of the performances that we were paying for. So we had to come up with scenes for people who had really nothing to do, nothing to say. But somehow, I think that turned into perhaps a creative part of the whole operation. It maybe made us dig a little deeper into the story we were trying to tell. And so that was a part of the history.
Most certainly. Alan, I know that Tiggs had another question for Wisner. Would you go ahead and ask it, please?
Was a story you wish you could have course corrected?
Oh, yeah. So a story you wish you maybe could have course corrected.
I can't remember that, honestly. I don't remember a lot of the stories. When you were doing that much work, and it was that long ago, a lot of it just went in one ear and out the other. I kept copious notes, which I could refer to, but that would be a terrible job to do. I can't think of any particular story that was that you were referring to.
Certainly. So, of course, with your whole career, thinking about your career at All My Children and thinking about being at Agnes's side for so many years, what was it like for you to hear of her passing just a few years ago?
Well, it was a very, very sad occasion, of course, because after I left the show, I stayed in touch with Agnes on a personal basis. We talked on the phone probably once a week, or maybe once every 10 days or something like that. Not about the show, but just as friends. She was a lovely, wonderful, warm, darling human being. And she was friendly with me and my wife, Judith Barcroft, and who was an actress on the show. And Agnes knew our children, and I knew her children, and we had visited each other's homes. So I lost a dear, dear friend, as well as a colleague.
Certainly. So Wisner, before we wrap things up completely, you may know that All My Children is once again being rebooted by ABC, this time for primetime. So how does it make you feel that All My Children continues to live on?
Well, I think it's a testament to Agnes and her great leadership and creativity. And I feel that I take some credit too, because I was there for 20 years off and on. And so I feel like I'm part of the team. And I'm very proud that that it's got that much power left in it. And I wish them great luck.
Most certainly. Yeah, it's just fabulous to think about, you know, that they'll have Robert Nixon there, and that they have Kelly Ripa, who played Haley, and Mark Consuelos, who played Mateo, leading the charge. It's just fabulous to see what Agnes created and what you helped her to create for so many years be on the air someday once again.
Yes, it'd be a thrill to see it. I was very disappointed that the version of it online didn't last longer.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that some of the people involved were not as experienced as they might have been.
Did you watch the show after you left?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was part of my life. I was so used to turning on the television at 1 o'clock and having lunch and watching simultaneously, and it was a big part of my life. Yes, I couldn't just snap it off and turn my back. But I must say, over period of time, I did begin to drift away, as might well be expected. But I did keep a track of what was going on, yes.
Most definitely.
I'm also a great close friend with Lorraine Broderick, who took over from me. And we were good pals and very compatible co-workers. She was so creative and we worked together very well, I thought. So I kept on top of the story a bit through her.
And she certainly wrote a beautiful ending as much as she could for the show on ABC. She was their final head writer, of course.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful finale that she wrote, even though they had to leave it on a cliffhanger.
Right. I must say, I didn't see that, but I'm glad I wasn't required to write it. Oh my God, that must have been a heartbreaker to write.
Yeah. It was beautiful. I mean, it was filled with flashbacks, you know, going all the way back to 1970. Right. So it was a fabulous finale show for them.
Right.
Yeah, it was great to watch as a viewer.
I don't know, have any details about this resurrection on ABC prime time, but I'm curious to see that. When is it scheduled to start? Do you know?
So Leo Richardson, who is writing it, has written the pilot. So it's gotten a pilot order. Everybody's kind of waiting to hear if it will get a series order. But it's going to be, Robert Nixon will be a like story consultant, bringing in all of, you know, his mother's notes and all of that stuff from decades gone by. Again, Kelly Ripa, who played Haley, Adam's daughter, and Mark Consuelos, her husband, who played Mateo, they'll be executive producing it. But yeah, it's going to be like, they're describing it as an edgy version of All My Children. It centers around a reporter who comes to town and is going to uncover all of the town's deep, dark secrets from years gone by.
Oh.
And they're calling it Pine Valley. So they're not calling it All My Children, but they're just going to call it Pine Valley.
I see. Well, good luck.
Yeah, I think it's centering around the Santos and the Kane family. I don't think the Martins are involved yet.
Yeah. So it just looks like what Alan said. It looks like it's just going to be the Santos and the Kane families. Instead of, like he said, the Martins aren't quite involved yet.
Which generation of the Martins?
It will be curious to see if the Martin family gets folded in at all. You know, if Tad is there or any of that, or even Jenny Martin. You know, they haven't been revealed to be in the show yet, which is odd because, you know, the Martins, of course, were like the founding family of the show. but we'll see how it plays out. It's in such early development, but it will be exciting.
I wonder if they're going to corral Susan Lucci.
We're all holding our breath and keeping our fingers
crossed. She's probably involved.
Yeah. Because, you know, what is All My Children without Erica Kane, right?
I don't know. That would be a tough one.
Yes.
I was thinking about the Martin family. Ray McDonald, I think, is still alive. He's one of the few survivors of the Martin family. I mean, Tad, of course, is alive and well. I'd be curious if Ray was available to be the paterfamilias.
Definitely. He did a few episodes of the online revival. He came on and did, I think, 6 episodes, wasn't it, Alan, or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. He's only there for a bit.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So, and yeah. Of course, you know, they had Jesse and Angie there on the revival and their daughter, Cassandra, and it was fabulous. Of course, like you said, it would have been nice if it just lasted a little bit longer.
Yes. Yes. That was a good try. But do you want to hear any more about the early days of the show?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you curious about the...
Yes.
Well, I was hired as a, I wrote a trial script. I was a new father and had just bought a New York City co-op and was out of work. And my wife said, why don't you send a script to Bob Cinadella from Another World? I did, and he didn't like it. And she said, well, try Agnes Nixon. And I sent Agnes a trial script. And lo and behold, she liked it so much, she called, she said, may we put it on the air? And I couldn't believe it. I said, yes, yes. Because it paid, I had been a Broadway stage manager before that. And one script paid more money than I made for a week of stage managing a Broadway hit. So I was very thrilled. And the script was, it went over very well. And she said, would you like to write another one? And I said, yes. So I started script writing, and I found that sometimes I would call her, and because I received outlines that I wrote the script upon, and I would say, I think it would be better if we did such and such, because it doesn't quite make sense with what has transpired previously. And I didn't know that I was, it took a lot of chutzpah to do that. I was such a novice. I just went ahead and said it. And Agnes appreciated that. She saw it as a creativity. And after about a year of writing scripts, she said, would you like to try to write some outlines? And I said, yes. And so we started doing that. And I was working in my bedroom at home here in New York. And it was a very strange thing, because I would call her every day right after the show aired. And in those days, it aired at, it was a half hour, and it aired at 12:30 Eastern time. So I would call her at 1 o'clock and very briefly give a rundown of this outline of a show that I had created out of thin air. And she would add suggestions and modifications, and then I would dictate it and have it typed up and send it off. And then it became a script. Other people wrote the script, of course. And it was very, I remember one occasion, my telephone went out in New York City at 1 o'clock, and there was a huge snowstorm going on. But I knew Agnes was counting on me. And so there was an outdoor telephone booth on the corner of my apartment on Riverside Drive. And I went out with my clipboard and pen and called Agnes, kept putting quarters into the telephone. And the snow was swirling around, but we got it done. And I think it was sort of like, it was part of the training that I had, like the show must go on. And I always remembered that very fondly. And the show did go on for another decade or so, at least.
Yes. So you mentioned, one thing I did want to know about is if you remember your time, you mentioned how great it was to work with the very popular and very beloved Lorraine Broderick. But you also returned for a time at the show under Megan McTavish. What was your working relationship like with her, if you remember?
It was not good.
Okay. All righty then.
I would rather not go into details.
Of course. So then another thing I was interested to learn about from your point of view, if you remember, Cliff and Nina, you know, the end all be all couple during that couple era.
Oh, yes.
What are some of your fond memories of Peter Bergman and Taylor Miller in that story?
Well, I don't know. They were so appealing together that I think the story almost wrote itself. You see, we watched the show every day at 1 o'clock. At our conference table in the All My Children writer's office. And we got a lot of feedback from the way the actors handle the material. They I don't know if they realized it at the time, but they helped write the story, because if they were handling the material in a way that we didn't quite envision, we either liked it or didn't like it. And very often we liked it because it had brought an aspect to the story that we hadn't really conceived initially. And we would modify the storyline accordingly. And I think they were so appealing, and Palmer Courtland was such a joy. I mean, he was such a bad man. I loved writing bad people. Bad people are easier to write than good people, I think. Like Ray Gardner, remember him?
Yes.
he was fun to write. He was the devil incarnate, and I enjoyed him. But Cliff and Nina were just so appealing that I think the story just sort of wrote itself.
Another thing I was interested to know, so when I was doing some research on you and your time at All My Children, from things that I may have not known already, let's talk about social issues. So, of course, there was the character of Lynn Carson, who was one of the first...
I'm sorry.
The character of Lynn Carson, who was a gay character. So what was that like for you to introduce that story?
It was very difficult for me. We had not, I don't think the writing team had really conceived of doing that kind of a story, but the producer at that point in time was Jackie Babin, who's gay, and I think she wanted to tell that. She kept in telling us we should do a story like that. And finally, it came to the point where she almost insisted that we tell a story of that nature. And because we had not, I don't think our hearts were in it, because we had not conceived of it, we were told to write it. And I found it very difficult. And I don't think things were as free. You couldn't be as candid and frank on the air back then. What was that? That was 25 years ago, right? Wouldn't you say?
Probably closer to maybe, around there, 25, 27 years ago. Yeah, around there.
Yeah. So the public was not as receptive to that kind of a storyline too. So it was a very difficult tale to tell. And we didn't have another gay character on the show. So a romance was not feasible. It was hard to do. And I don't think we did it very well. And I apologize for that, because I think nowadays, if we could do it in the current social mindset, it would be very difficult. And I mean, it would be very different. And I wish we had done it better.
Finally, Wisner, as we come to a close here, would you mind telling our listeners, what are you up to today? What is the life of Wisner Washam today?
Very, very lazy. When I first left All My Children, I had a lot more energy. That was a long time ago. I was much younger. I had a lot of energy, and I wrote four books. One of them was, I thought, a wonderful story that I still think it should be made into a great movie. It's essentially about the cloning of Jesus Christ through a fragment of his body. And I wrote a great story, and it's still a great story, but it involved the Catholic Church, and I think it's very, Disney at one point was interested in it, but then the powers that be concluded that a publicly owned company would have to be very, very careful in handling that kind of a story. And this was a good 20 years ago. I keep hoping that somebody will find it and breathe some life into it. It's called The Cloning, if you want to read it. It's a good read. It's a page turner.
Definitely. Yes. I encourage everybody to go to Amazon and, you know, buy a copy and check it out and see Yay. What it's all about.
Thank you.
Yes. And thank you, Wisner, for coming on and doing this. To hear what you remember about your years at All My Children was just amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Wisner.
Well, thank you. Thank you both. It's been a pleasure. And I've enjoyed it. I wish you all the best.
And same to you as well. And stay safe and stay well. And thank you so much for telling us what you remember about your time there.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Our thanks to Wisner Washam for joining us on this all new episode of The Chat. It was such a fun experience to talk with him and such a pleasure. Alan, where can they find you on Twitter?
I'm Alice Ratha.
Wonderful. And you can find me at KCS Hutch. And we will see everybody next time on The Chat. Hopefully with more co-host.
Not just us.
Right.
This is the first time there has been two bitches talking. Maybe, maybe in the start we get just Tiggs. I think you and Tiggs will start a list.
Yes. I mean, you know, so right, it kind of recalls the familiarity of just having two. And real quick before we go, thank you everybody for listening for the past 2 years and tuning into the show. It certainly means a lot to all the co-hosts and myself, of course. And who knows, maybe on the next show we'll talk about reaching a 2-year milestone as well. Alrighty. Thank you, everybody. Bye.